I would like to read, before we pray, from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Just a few verses from verse 11. They are very familiar words. Let us read them by standing up. John 10 from verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God, let us worship. Faithful Lord, we thank you together for this precious day that we may experience and enjoy. Lord, with all the brothers and sisters who have come from near and far, we thank you, Lord, that we know you are our good shepherd and you laid down your life for us. You did not flee, no, Lord, but you stepped into the breach, paid the price for us, redeemed us, and set us free. And so here we are, Lord, as your people, worshipping you from the bottom of our hearts. And we also ask you, Lord, continue to be with us now, to bless us from the riches of your grace. Bless also my brother, Lord, as he brings now your word. Bless also the hearers, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe we will sing another chorus or two together, and then Brother Frank will serve with a word.
Meine Seele jaucht dir freudig zu. Von der Erde reißt mich los, mache meinen Glauben groß, gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nimm mich an, mein Jesus. Hand hat mich gemacht, wunderbar ans Licht gebracht, wunderbar ans helle Licht gebracht. Und dein Blut hat mich erlöst, dass ich ewig sei getröst, dass ich nun auf ewig sei getröst. Von der Erde reißt mich los, mache meinen Glauben groß. Gib mir einen treuen Sinn, nimm mich ganz, mein Jesus
hin. I too would like to welcome everyone very warmly, and I must apologize if I have a cough. This time I didn't pay attention, as I usually do, when I come back from a missionary trip, then I dress warmly or more warm when it is cold in our country. This time I didn't do that, and therefore I got a cold. I don't like it myself, but it is probably only temporary. I apologize for that. Well, as I said, we are having a glorious day today. We have already been blessed. Wedding is always a beautiful thing, and we are thinking of the great and glorious wedding feast of the Lamb, in which the bride and all those who belong to the bride will then participate. I would also like to give all the many greetings from the Philippines, Indonesia, India, Singapore, and Pakistan. My missionary trip took me through all these countries in October, and we even rented a giant theater in Manila for the first time. And at first I was displeased about it, because you don't fill 8,000 or 9,000 seats that quickly. And I thought the brothers got the shoe size a little bit wrong, but God gave grace that many people came, at least 5,000, 6,000, to hear the word of the Lord. And also in other countries and cities, we had very good meetings. Many sent their warm greetings to all of you. Now we want to go very briefly into our word observation. On the occasion of today, I would like to read scriptures that fit this from the prophet Hosea, the second chapter, verse 21 and 22. Here says the Lord God, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and so on, and so on. The main thing here is this glorious promise. In that day, and this day that is spoken of here is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace. And the Lord God said, I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness and in righteousness. And then he lets us know, in that day I will be willing, saith the Lord, and heaven shall be at my will, saith the Lord. God has promised to shake heaven and earth. God has established a relationship of love with his own and says, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in justice and in loving kindness and in mercies. God loves us. He had mercy on us and accepted us. The Lord has become the bridegroom of our souls. I would like to read some verses from Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 from verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. To this we can only say, Amen. These are the true words of God. Dear heart, we were invited to the wedding today. We knew where it would take place. We knew who invited us. We accepted the invitation. We have come. We are here. The heavenly bridegroom has prepared a wedding feast. Let the invitation go out to all. Who will come? Who will be there? I would like to read from Matthew chapter 22. The Lord became very sad because those invited did not come. Matthew chapter 22, verse 3. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. As I said, we have a wedding here today, and there's really no better occasion to remind us of what God is up to than on such a day. The heavenly bridegroom is going to host a wedding feast. He wants those invited to come. He wants them to recognize that today is the day of salvation. And I would also like to read a few scriptures on this shortly, beginning with Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, And then briefly from the prophet Isaiah and so on. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Here I want to emphasize the term today in a special way. I read on from the same chapter, Hebrews 3, verse 14 and 15. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. So that all know what is meant by this term today, I would like to read on from chapter 4, verse 3, and then verse 6. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. The people of Israel were disobedient and went astray with their hearts. And God has appointed a today, a new day, that by faith we may enter into the divine rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. I am grateful to God for this clarity that is given to us here in the Word. Here we are not only talking about a today, but this today is a day, and this is the day of salvation. I read it to you from the Old and New Testament, but again, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, this day that he has set is a today. I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This glorious today is the day of salvation. And God has not only announced a today, He has made the beginning of this day of salvation Himself by telling us, as we are told here in reference to Psalms 2, verse 7, in Hebrews 5, verse 5 and 6, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. God has called into being the day of salvation in his only begotten Son. Thou art my Son. Today have I begotten thee. With this, God has initiated the day of salvation. The salvation of God has come to mankind through Christ. All the world shall see the salvation of our God. Can we all relate to it in this way? I hope so. I read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Here the prophet in the Old Testament has already had it revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 49, verse 7 and 8, maybe to make it short, only verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, and so on, and so on. Today, we are concerned about this glorious day of grace, about the today that no man may miss during his lifetime. Your and my today is now, on this day, when the voice of the Word of God goes out to us. This is our today, the day of salvation and grace. Here it says, in an acceptable time. What do we hear in the announcement of the birth of our Savior? That joy will be to all people and goodwill to men. God looks favorable upon mankind after the sacrificial lamb shed the blood on the cross of Calvary. God sees us through Calvary as pardoned, as people who have received forgiveness. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. Today the Lord calls out to you and me, I will betroth thee unto me, in faithfulness and in righteousness. He wants to do it. And only those who are accepted into this divine covenant and confirm it in turn are accepted into this love relationship with the heavenly bridegroom and can rightfully count themselves among the bride church, which is called out from all peoples, tongues, and nations. And there too I had to reflect, right, because on the occasion of the wedding, when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to woo the bride for Isaac, what did he do? He prayed that God would show him the right one and bring him to the right time at the right place. And he made up with God in prayer what would be a sign to know that God had given grace to his mission and to his journey. Beloved, every servant of God, be he small or great, will go out with prayer to meet those who say yes without any inner contradiction when the call is made to them. When Rebecca came out and Eleazar made the offer to her, she gave him water, she watered his camels, she did everything and was ready to go with him. You may say, did she know everything so exactly where it would go? Whether she knew or not, God made it so, and the same will be with you and with me. We feel the heavenly call, and we know that we have been destined to meet the bridegroom of our soul. And whoever follows him does not go into the unknown. On the contrary, then uncertainty ceases. Then certainty enters our life of faith. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness and in righteousness. The heavenly bridegroom has redeemed and purchased an earthly bride. John could say then, the friend of the bridegroom hears the shout of joy of the bride. And then he says, this my joy is now fulfilled. And as we read in Revelation, his bride has made herself ready. Beloved, it's not just about becoming believers. It's about a little more. It is about obedience of faith. It is about believing God today, about responding today to what God is saying to us from his word, about going along today with what God is doing now, and so not living in the past, but being in the presence of God. When I became aware that we are gathered here today from a whole number of different churches, and as a result of this, we sing from different hymn books out of habit. One sings from the Voice of Faith, another from the Gospel Singers, the third from Kingdom Songs, the fourth from the Sounds of Truth, the fifth from Zion Songs of Praise, and one could list many hymn books. I have sung from all of them, and that is my great advantage, because God has led me to all churches to let me know that the people of God are scattered in all the churches. But the Lord said, when I am lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all God's children to myself. And this we have understood. This draw then withdraws from human access. Then the Lord, as Redeemer, draws all the redeemed to himself. I wanted to express one more thought. Even though the songbooks are different, it is the same Bible, the same redemption, and the same Redeemer in whom we have become believers. I really want to urge everyone to go all the way with God, to not look around at where some have now stopped spiritually. I have probably already told this here. When I attended this big conference in the USA in June this year, over 1,000 delegates from over 300 different denominations. However, I only had observer status. In any case, it was a very great experience. But then someone heard that I was present, and it was a professor from a Bible seminary, and this man, second generation German born in America, of course he asked me for a talk directly, and you all know what came then, you who heard it before. He heard that we baptize biblically by immersion as the apostles and our brethren in the early church had done. And this man actually became primitive. He cried out and said, "You despise Luther and Calvin," and so on and so on, until he calmed down. That took quite some time. But then I finally got to say, "Listen, you are not right in any way. We are grateful to God for all the men of the Reformation, for all the many who carried the precious seed until the breakthrough came." And I said, "One thing I may still tell you. We do not stop at the beginning. That was the beginning, not the completion of the Reformation. The completion of the Reformation must have brought us back to the early church. Even though some stop along the way, that is their problem. God always had a remnant that was willing to go forward. And believe me, based upon the scriptures, the New Testament church needs to be brought back to where she was at the beginning. The interim time God uses to lead us from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge, until the bright day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. This is how Peter puts it in his letter. Of course, there have been many revivals, and there have been churches that have emerged from the revivals, but there have always been people who did not stand still, but were spiritually ready to move forward. We may register the same humbly but thankfully, that there are people in this time who do not stand still, who do not look back 400 years or 200 or 300 years and remain at the same level, but who are ready to be led forward with the Spirit of God into all truth. And we too confess with Paul that we not already have attained it or have come already unto perfection. We too are still on the way. And a songwriter sings so wonderfully, "More, more of the Savior until the end, until I'm transferred to the Father's house." Let us summarize what we have been talking about here tonight. Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, has paid the price on this earth and accomplished an eternal redemption, has brought a bride into being. And just as Eve was taken out of Adam and then brought to him, so Christ has redeemed a bride. His side has also been opened at Calvary. His blood has flowed, and he calls out to us, "I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." He made the promise, "I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in faithfulness, and I will be married to you forever. He, the bridegroom of our souls, has pardoned us, and we have heard this call and wish to be more intimately united with him, to walk with him until we come from believing unto seeing. Then we think of the admonishing word from Matthew 22. Those who were invited were not worthy. Each had a different excuse, and they did not come. Then said the king, "Go to the hedges and to the fences, and invite whom ye find." And the wedding hall was filled with guests. In Revelation, we read, "These are the true sayings of God. Blessed is he who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." He who has been invited to the wedding feast must have heard the call of the bridegroom, and he must have said, "Yes, he must come." Dear heart, not just a little religious business, not just a little spiritual atmosphere, but a union as a bride with a bridegroom, to become one with him in a relationship of love. Just say, as it is with us, who longs for him? Who cries out, as it is written in Revelation, "Come soon, Lord Jesus"? Where is the longing among believers to be taken from this earth and to be with the Lord? Here I think of a very old preacher who also preached in Poland and Russia. And when then the time came for him to pass away, he called the believers around him and pleaded, "Pray that God will keep me here." He was in his 80s. And then somebody said, "But brother so-and-so, you have preached to us how beautiful it is in glory. Why don't you want to go to glory if it is so beautiful there? Why should we pray that you stay here?" So it can happen to us that we speak of things that have not become a part of our life of faith. May it be so with us that we want to be taken from this earth, united with the Lord, have entered into a love relationship with him, have felt that he has betrothed himself to us in love and faithfulness, that he has atoned for and forgiven all our sins, and that we feel his love and are secure in him and with him, and thus carry within us the longing to be with the Lord. I would like to emphasize once again the word from Hebrews, from which can be seen that the today is a day which the Lord has appointed. Hebrews 4, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, a today. This day appointed by God is a today. Thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. With this, God has made the new beginning. With this, the kingdom of God has come to this earth, and anyone who is violent enters into it. A today, a day of salvation, a day of grace. During this time, all people can come to the Lord and receive forgiveness and be pardoned. That is the short but powerful message today on this glorious wedding day. And I think that the newly married couple could wish for nothing better than that on the very same day people hear the call of the heavenly bridegroom and respond to it, consecrating their lives to the Lord. Belonging to church is beautiful, but becoming one with the Lord is more beautiful and better. To be united with God in divine love, to know He has pardoned us, He has made out of children of men, children of God. Back in the Old Testament, God swore in His wrath that they would never enter into My rest. But then the Lord satisfied His wrath through Calvary. The Lamb of God took it all upon Himself and carried it to the cross. Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Beloved, it's too easy for the people. At least that's what it seems. If you would tell them what they have to do to be saved, then they would even overdo it with great zeal. But God has done everything. Our Lord cried out, "It is finished. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls." There is a rest for the people of God. God sets a new day, a today. Today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Verse 9 in chapter 4, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Not a rest on a Sabbath. That would be a teaching of some who emphasize one day of the week in particular. Not a rest on Sunday or on the Sabbath. A rest in God. God rested on the seventh day. God sanctified the seventh day and had brought all His work to completion. We look to Golgotha and see that the work of redemption was completed there. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. The Lord has appointed a day of salvation, a day of grace, a today. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. Let us stand up and sing the chorus, "Just as I am."
Denn rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Wir singen den Chorus. We sing the chorus once again.
dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein. O Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm. Lasst uns alle die Häupter neigen.
Let us all bow our heads, close our eyes. I read what was said at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, when our Lord was present there. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I read it again. John 2, verse 5, last part. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, from our hearts we thank you for the great privilege that we were allowed to recognize that you have set a today, a day, the day of salvation, so that we may see and experience the salvation of God. Beloved Savior, we are here, and it is written in the prophet Isaiah, all the earth, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the day of salvation. You have begun the today yourself. Thou art my Son. Today have I begotten thee. Beloved Lord, here we are to worship, to thank you for allowing us to hear your call and come to you in faith. Beloved Lord, may this wedding day be a day when you speak to some, call them to you and pardon them, that they may come to rest in you. There is yet a rest for the people of God. It is still the day of salvation, the time of grace. Beloved Lord, you, the bridegroom of our souls, thou hast promised to betroth thyself to us in faithfulness and in righteousness, and to be married to us forever. Beloved Savior, make us all the bride. Let us be part of it when you return to take your own home. Beloved Savior, that we may be taken from the earth and come to you into glory. Blessed and holy is whoever was invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed and holy whoever obeyed this divine invitation and allowed himself to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and made his garments bright and was clothed in white linen. This linen is the righteousness of the saints. Beloved Lord, when we look at ourselves, then our own righteousness is like a filthy rag. But you have stripped us of our filthy garments, washed us, and made us clean through the blood of the Lamb, and clothed us in garments of salvation. We thank you for this and ask you to bless the newly married couple. Bless all the relatives. Bless all who are close to them, O Lord. And may all of us who are here today participate in that great wedding feast, when the bride is taken up to you from east and west and south and north as the divine seed, let me be there, O Lord. I know that you have married us, entered into a love relationship with us, beloved Lord. And you said, he who loves me will keep my word. Make us doers of the word. Beloved Savior, you know how many have been addressed who would gladly consecrate their lives to you now. Show them how it happens, that they believe in their hearts that you are the Lord and Savior, and that they confess with their mouths that you have saved them and given them forgiveness by grace. We ask you to accept all who come to you. You yourself said, I will not cast you out. You still accept everyone today. We thank you for this with all our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen.